The title of my message is God Save New Zealand. God Save New Zealand. And it's coming from Revelation chapter 3. I know that these are words of Jesus Christ, specifically to his church, to his people, and I'm going to be reading about the Laodicean church. We know that this can be applied to the church of the last days, but I really felt that God wanted us to apply this message to New Zealand, and that Jesus, even though he's speaking it to, you know, Christians around the world of the last days, he really wants to speak this letter to the whole of New Zealand. And I know there's definitely parts you have to pull out more and more for the Christians, but he also actually wants to speak it to the unbelievers, to those who are in this nation not understanding spiritual things, just lost in the world. Jesus still wants to speak to them from this. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and slave to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, or let him hear what the Spirit says to New Zealand. Lord Jesus, we just thank you again, and we ask you to speak to this nation, to save this nation, to turn this land back to you, to open up blinded eyes. And Lord, we ask that you will make us into your humble servants, that you will use us to bring forth your true word and to speak to people in your name, to speak to this nation, to speak to this community, and turn this nation back to you. So Lord, fill us with your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, first of all, we have Jesus Christ revealing himself and revealing himself in a mighty way. And first of all, he says these are the words of the Amen. What that says to me is that Jesus Christ is the one who answers prayer. When you have Jesus say Amen to your prayers, you know it's going to be answered, it's going to come forth. And I believe this is the time, this is the generation when Jesus wants to reveal himself as the Amen. And we have to be serious in prayer if we're going to have revival, but we've got to see Jesus standing there. He is the Amen, and I just imagine him as we're praying, as we're seeking him. He is the one saying Amen at the end of our prayers. Then we have to see Jesus Christ as the faithful and true witness. To me, this speaks of Jesus Christ as the evangelist, that he is the faithful witness. And when we witness for him, when we share for him, when we share the gospel with people, we have to see Jesus Christ there with us as the faithful witness. And I know that in this nation we need a breakthrough for evangelism. We need a breakthrough for reaching, getting the gospel to the lost people, to those who do not know him. And I believe another key is to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is faithful. That means when the nation is in darkness, he's going to continue to speak. He's going to continue to reach out to people. even though they can be hard, even though they can be lost, even though they don't want to listen. Jesus is faithful to want to reach out to them and speak to them and to share the light of God. And then very interesting that one of the, you know, the final revelation of Christ is that he reveals himself as the ruler of God's creation. And it's as if he knew that in the last days there would be an attack that would try to deny the sovereign creation of God through evolution and through humanistic atheism and through believing that we just came from monkeys and we don't have to acknowledge the creator of the universe. But Jesus Christ stands at that time as the ruler of God's creation. And that's how he stands in the final age. And that's how he wants to stand in New Zealand. And then we know that Jesus Christ is looking at what the nation is doing, what the people are doing, their deeds, and he's looking at what also his church is doing. And he knows the deeds that are going on. And I believe that New Zealand is one of these nations that we have to say that in the eyes of God is lukewarm. And in the eyes of God is in danger of being spat out of God's mouth. You know, it's the judgment day is going to be very severe when he says, are you a sheep nation or a goat nation? And certainly we were called to be a sheep nation, but the way we have gone, we have become a goat nation. And it's as if there are, you know, there's so many beautiful, wonderful Christians, but they're not the majority, they're a minority, they're a remnant. It's like the remnant of Israel. You know, God wanted the whole nation, a whole nation sold out for him. But there were beautiful men of God, there were beautiful prophets, there were awesome men of God. Every generation had its powerful men of God. And we've got powerful men of God in New Zealand, we've got awesome people. But we've still a remnant, and we've still got to warn the nation, just as Jeremiah warned Israel, just as Ezekiel was called to be a watchman to warn the nation. That is what we've got to raise up in the church. And we've got to warn this nation. We've got to warn the people. We've got to have the true warnings of God. And imagine what it is to be spat out by Jesus Christ. Spat out. And then we see some of the problems that caused them to become lukewarm. And it really was trusting in their own works, trusting in their own wealth, saying, I am rich. When Jesus says, you do not realize really what true state you are in. Pitiful, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And we have to see the true state of this nation in the eyes of God. But Jesus wants to counsel this nation to buy from him the pure gold that only comes through the fire, comes through his fire, comes through a people who are walking with him through the fire. Comes with the people who are willing to walk with Jesus Christ. You know, so many people have gone through problems and difficulties which have been sent by God, but they have not repented. They have not humbled themselves. They have just, it's as if an attitude of, oh, okay, this is hell on earth. You know, there is no real hell. I'm living in hell. This is hell on earth. And they think that, you know, they're all their problems. You know, they are just holding on to them as an excuse not to repent. They don't realize that this is nothing compared to the true reality of God's judgments. And how do we feel God's heart? And I see that's what the prophets had. That's what Jeremiah and all these prophets who were able to speak to God in the time of darkness. They were able to speak to the people and able to wake them up and able to wake up the church. And really, these are very words of Jesus Christ. Is to wake up the nation, is to wake up the church, is to wake up his people, is to bring revival into the church. And as we continue, we'll be looking at some of the keys which I think are really necessary in this nation for this to happen. Jesus, he is standing in his love because he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So I think Jesus Christ, as the rebuking and the discipline is going to come stronger and stronger upon New Zealand, actually in that time, we're going to come to understand God's love in a deeper way, a more real way, a more realistic way. God's true love that he has, that he's willing to discipline New Zealand, He's willing to rebuke this nation. But then I like these words that Jesus says, so be earnest and repent. I like that thought of being earnest in repentance before God, because I've seen many people in my own home church and other places, and even from the youth group I was in and many years ago, you know, moves of God where many people were touched and many people came forward or supposedly put up their hand in an evangelistic meeting to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then very quickly you see them back lost in the world. And I was wondering what was missing. You know, it looked as if they were repenting. But I was especially thinking with some of the sins, like, let's say, for example, drunkenness, which can really have a tight grip on a person's life. And it's really going to be, you know, even though they say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, it's going to be like a chain. It's going to want to keep pulling them back into the world. And what I feel is if New Zealand doesn't have the earnestness when they repent, they will just continue to fall back into the world because they don't have that desire to overcome. They're not going to battle through. They're not going to persevere, you know, to battle through, to win the victory, to be the overcomer. And that's why many have been called, sad to say, to be evangelists, because they get powerfully saved in the world. And yes, they have been in the nightclubs, they have been drinking, they have been taking drugs, and they get powerfully saved, and they meet with God, and they're on fire for Jesus. I was so impressed with one of the early people I teamed up with to share the gospel outside nightclubs in about 1992. And he was radical for God. He would just stand outside the nightclubs saying, Jesus loves you, to every person who went in and came out. And he did that night after night. And I saw him a few years later. I saw that he had shaven all his eyebrows off and he was wandering around the streets. I thought, what's wrong? And he had gone back. He had fallen back into the drinking. And I took him to my place and I said to him, remember your favorite Bible verse. It was that the harvest is large and the workers are few. Man, you are on fire worker for God. What happened? Now I sort of think the blessing that I had from the family that I came from, because it laid a good foundation. It helped me to build on the rock. And I think so many who have been called to be in ministry in New Zealand, they haven't had maybe such a blessing as I've had, and I know that to whom much is given, much is required. And that's why I know that on Judgment Day, it's not going to be all sweet for me. It's going to be, no, God gave me blessings. But those who have come out of family difficulties and family problems, they've got to be earnest to build their life on the rock. Not to be a person that's just preaching the gospel 1, 2, 5 years and then vanishes. No, they've got to be a person that lasts the distance, that walks with God and makes it to the end and perseveres and prevails and wins the victory. And I know that Jesus can call back the fallen evangelists of New Zealand. How many people in this nation had the potential to save the nation, but they have fallen? But maybe that's because we have a church. We've not also been earnest in praying and interceding and building them up. You know, there's been people who have had Damascus Road, Apostle Paul type conversions in New Zealand. Just as powerful. And some of them have certainly continued. You know, Ian McCormick, he has been faithful preaching his testimony. He's done a good job. But there are other ones who have also had divine encounters with Christ. And I thought 20 years ago, they had the potential to save New Zealand. Now 20 years later, I don't hear of them at all. And imagine if that had happened to the Apostle Paul. Oh, where had he gone? We wouldn't have had any of his letters in the Bible. He was just this man who persecuted the church, got powerfully saved, did a few evangelistic testimonies in the local synagogues and the early churches, and never heard of him again. And that's why we've got to see the spiritual battle, and also see the battle to bring forth ministries. somehow to make sure that your ministry is bigger in 20 years' time, that your ministry is powerful, that you can be the nation shaker. You know, there are many people, as I said, who had the calling, who had the potential, but didn't have the solid rock foundation. And that's why when we come to the repentance, there's that earnestness that Jesus is looking for in the deeper work. I think we've just got to seek God. I think of the people that I've seen that have fallen away, that have backslidden, and oh God, you know, if New Zealand, if we had kept the people who had supposedly come to Christ, you know, the nation would have been full of Christians, packed out, witnessing, serving God. So obviously we have fallen short of God's glory, and we have fallen into this lukewarm state. But, you know, we just don't want to be negative, we want to find answers. And first of all, the answer is that Jesus says, "Here I am." You know, Jesus is the answer to this nation. He is the answer to the church. He is the answer for raising up the ministries for the future years. And so let's, you know, none of us know how long God will give us, but by His grace, let's say we're going to have, you know, we're going to be 20 years time. We want to see a change in this nation. We want to see God save this nation. We want to see a new rising up of the ministries. And as I said, I'm picking on Sonny. I want to see him, his ministry really explode in this nation. You know, I want to see Christians on the news having power, having authority, having a voice in this nation. More powerful than the government's voice. More powerful than the secular media that has put down the church. Lord God, raise up your church to be the head and not the tail in this nation. So Lord, we call upon you, Father God, break through. And Jesus is saying, "Here I am." Jesus is here. He is with us. He is mighty to save. He is going to give us the victory. And we've just got to keep standing, stepping out, stepping forward, and pressing on into the victory. And Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." And Jesus Christ is standing at the door of New Zealand and knocking upon this nation. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that is those who are willing to respond to him. You know, God is fully looking for us to open our hearts to him. And, you know, maybe we've done it constantly, maybe at this level, but I think we've got to look for the next level of opening the door of the church to Jesus Christ, really coming in, really being among us, really being mighty, really being sovereign among his people. And we say, "Jesus, come into this nation. Come into your church." And he says, "I will come in." It's a promise. He will send revival. Jesus says, "I will come in and eat with him." I see that's a promise for revival in New Zealand. Jesus says he will come into this nation. He will come and eat and dwell in fellowship and be with his people. And then Jesus gives the promise of the reward into eternity. To him who overcomes. That shows that it is a battle. It is a battle. It is a battle. It is hard. It isn't going to be easy. But I know the promise of God is those who have strength and those who take the kingdom of God by force. They are the ones who are going to forcefully advance the kingdom. And now we have to see Jesus Christ seated upon the throne. But Jesus then says, "I will give the right to sit with me. I will give you the right to come into my authority, to come into my power, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Yes, Jesus is our perfect example. He's the one who overcame, and he's the one who has won the victory. And again, he is calling us to have an ear, what he wants us to say, what he wants to speak to this nation. Now, I believe if we're going to see New Zealand saved, we have to get more serious in three areas. The first one being the area of prayer. And it's really, you know, I love prayer. I always have a heart's desire to go to prayer meetings. But I know again that the prayer meetings, it comes down to a very small remnant of those who really have a deep burden and a concern for the lost and are really willing to persevere and pray. And anyway, God sees them. God sees them. God knows the praying remnant in this nation. I think we've got to be encouraged. We've got to pray with faith. We've got to pray with strength. We've got to pray to overcome. And we've got to press into God. All the powerful revivals have come through that breakthrough point prayer. You know, and when I look at the revivals that came through Charles Finney in the, what was it, the 1840s in America, it was the same time when God was moving mightily in the Pacific, Fiji, New Zealand as well. You know, and, you know, missionaries went out sent by God sovereignly. And that was, again, answer to prayer. Jesus said, you know, the people are without a shepherd. And to me, there's so many people in New Zealand without the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. That he said to his people to pray that the workers will be sent out. And I know that when Jesus was saying those words, he wasn't just looking to the 1,000 people that were there with him in Israel. He was looking to the harvest fields throughout the generations. To those without the good shepherd. Those without Christ. And his putting the responsibility was onto his disciples. He didn't just say, I'm going to be in heaven, I'm going to send them all out, I'm going to do everything. No, God has given us the choice. And has given us the choice how much we open our hearts to God and how much we get on fire, how much we get hungry, desperate for a move of God and crying out to God to send out the workers. And realistically, you know, to me, I think we're living in cuckoo la-la land if we think there's going to be major revival just with the amount of prayer that we've reached, the level of prayer. You know, I think if the way things are going in New Zealand, realistically, we will become a goat nation and the majority of New Zealanders will be lost. And unless we break out of cuckoo la-la land and realize that Jesus can actually spit us out, he can actually remove his lampstand from the church, we can actually be a dead religious group that Jesus is not working with, and we be realistic that we're in danger of being a goat nation. And actually, when we actually start feeling some fear of the danger that this nation is in, and actually when we get shaken, and when we're crying out to God in repentance and really seeing the desperation of the hour, you know, most of the Israelites were totally blind. They didn't see the desperation of the hour. It was only ones like the prophets who were to be the eyes, to be the warning signal, but they had the heart of God, and they had the broken heart for their nation. You know, there was a time when God said, only those who are grieved will I put the seal on them and they will be spared when I come to judge. Those who were not grieved for the state of the Israel, they were not going to be spared. Now, they may have been good believers. They may have been, you know, nice synagogue attendees, going to their synagogue every Saturday. But because they were not grieved about the state of their nation, about the state of the land, when the angel came through, they would have not received the divine protection of God. And they would have just been cut down. They would have been saved, yes, their souls would have been saved, but they would not have been a part of God's revival. And it's like that when God took his people to the promised land. There was a people that were cut off. They were not going to be a part of the revival. There was a people, a younger generation, who had not been hardened by the deceitfulness of the culture, of the multitudes, of the lost people, were not blind, and God was going to start again. You know, and if God has to do that to save New Zealand, it'll be much more than just a little earthquake here and there. You know, to me, the book of Revelation is true. And it's not about just a few thousand dying here and there. It's about, imagine one third of the nation dying in 1 week. And then one third of all the plant life and trees being destroyed in the next week. And the things that have got to grip our heart is the reality of that this will be fulfilled. There are certainly things that we can change through repentance, and we can have a time of refreshing in this land. And if people really stand in the gap, and I know that I have to get more serious again, thinking about the lost state of this New Zealand. But Lord, you know, we've got to really let God really open our eyes to the seriousness of the situation. And the second thing we need for, what I believe we need for to be serious about if we're going to save this nation, is we need to be serious in putting finance into evangelism. Now I know that so many people were pressed on every side, and many people have made sacrifices, and God knows who has and who hasn't. But I think we've got to be realistic. You know, what kind of desperation do we have to save this nation? More than getting a new car? More than getting a, you know, upgrade in a house? More than getting an upgrade in a TV and all that? But, you know, it's hard sometimes having the right balance, because we want people to be blessed. We want people to enjoy the good things. And we certainly can't demand anyone to give. It's got to come from their heart. But on the other hand, we've got to be awakened. You know, what are we sowing into? What are we really giving to? What have we given to for the last 10 years? What have we sowed into for the last 20 years with our giving? What have we accomplished? Have we really fulfilled the command of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to all creation? And I know that it's hard, because we all have our limitations. You know, I wish I could save the whole world, but I can't. So we've all got to find what God requires of us individually. And I can't put my burden on you, and I can't give anyone a guilt trip that they haven't done that enough or this enough. But on the other hand, you know, God, you know, does say, store your treasures in heaven, not on earth. He does say that those who win their life will lose it. Those who lose their life will save it. So we've just got to have God's wisdom. And, you know, for me, being an evangelist, I've always had the problem of how do we get the gospel out to the lost? And, you know, again, with how the right balance of building up a good church, having the good sound systems for the church, and all the preaching in the church, and all the things we want to buy and build and build and build for the church, and then the right balance of how are we going to save the nation? How are we going to get the lost people? And, you know, it's not an easy issue to solve. But all I can do is throw it out there and also challenge people. You know, we've got to put money into actually getting the gospel to the unbelievers. We've got to reach the nation. How do we do that? So maybe I'm not giving an answer, I'm just giving a question, I'm giving a challenge. You know, how do we break through in this nation to get the gospel to a people that are so hard, their hearts are hard. And there's so many reasons why. And there's so many deceptions. There's so many spiritual blindnesses that has come upon people. There's so many excuses. But, you know, to God, they're just excuses. And then thirdly, we've got to get serious for actually going out, taking the gospel to the lost person. The actual hard work that no one wants to do, that the church has failed to do, it's been too busy to do. Actually taking the gospel to the lost people. And that's, again, a major challenge in New Zealand. And God knows those who are faithful, and God knows how the gospel witness has shined through this nation. But on the other hand, he knows those who have sat in the church and for the last year have not even witnessed to a person once a month, an unbeliever. You know, and that's a crying shame to be able to stand before God on Judgment Day to say, in my life, I never even witnessed to one unbeliever once a month. And how many Christians are like that? And I, you know, even when I spoke to one church about getting their youth group to do evangelism, it was all excuses. They'll be too shy, they'll be too scared, they don't want to. Yes, yes, yes. You're lukewarm. You're going to be spat out of God's mouth. You're in bondage. You've raised up a youth group that has pursued the world, that has enjoyed the things of the world, that has partied, that has enjoyed your spiritual babies. But Jesus says, here I am. I'm going to rebuke you because I love you. I'm going to be earnest. I'm going to want to make you to be earnest and to repent. And I think, you know, so many people in this nation, we have, you know, it has gripped this nation where the unbelievers have been hard to reach. So it's caused a barrier between the church and the world. And in many places, you know, there is this big barrier. So it's like, oh, we can't witness to them. The barrier is there. But we've got to break that barrier. We've got to say, yes, we can share the words of eternal life with them. We can win the unbelievers. We can turn their hearts. You know, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus standing with us in his might and his glory and his power. And You know, once again in this kind of message, I just think, you know, God, you've got to break my heart again. You know, so that I cannot be deceived even by the Church of New Zealand and the way that we have settled for what we think is serving God, being faithful to God. We've got to say, God, you've got to really get a hold of my life. You've got to really speak to me like never before. You've got to take the wax out of my ears. Take the blindfolds away from my eyes. Lord, let me see. Let me see what you are seeing, Lord God, when you see New Zealand. Let me see what New Zealand is going to face. Even if it's not in the next few years, it's what you people of New Zealand are going to face in eternity and standing before God. You know, to me, you know, the average New Zealand person has no concept of what it means of the seriousness of rejecting God. The seriousness of rejecting their own salvation. And I, you know, how much is it coming across from the pulpit, the seriousness of the state of this land? And that's why I was so thankful when there was a heart for revival, a heart for God breaking through. It gives hope. You know, there is hope that there's going to be a people that are going to seek God with all their hearts and going to press through. And, you know, in New Zealand, I'm sick and tired of New Zealand being bound up to a Sunday morning. The church being bound up by a Sunday morning. And that's pretty much the major percent of our Christianity. It's bound up to a Sunday morning. The early church was never bound up like that. It was never bound up so that it could only preach inside four walls to Christians who would gather to listen on a Sunday morning. So we've got to get the fire in again. And what God allowed to happen in the early church was persecution to come against the church. You know, even the apostles became comfortable. It's so easy even for mighty men of God to become comfortable. And they were all comfortable in Jerusalem. And God allowed persecution against his own people. And the leader of it, of course, being Saul, the fanatic, who God was going to get a hold of anyway. See, Saul, he's an incredible man. How God used him before he was saved, and how God used him after he was saved. But it radically brought the church into the book of Acts. You know, without that, without Paul, without the persecution, you know, the early church would have gone into the dark ages a lot sooner. It was the pressure, you know. It was the pressure. But you've got to see that it's from God. It's so that you become a mighty man of God. You've got to see from God's perspective why God's allowing it to happen. Otherwise, we can just go into the dark ages in our own lives. So God allowed that to happen to his church, allowed his church to be shaken, allowed his people to be shaken. And I just thank you, Jesus, for your work that you can do in our lives to make us into true servants for you. And there's got to come a boldness into our hearts that Jesus is with us and it's him standing with us and speaking through us. And I'm just going to close with what I said at the beginning, which Jesus Christ revealing himself is in those three powerful ways. Jesus Christ revealing himself as the Amen. Jesus Christ revealing himself as the faithful and true witness. And Jesus Christ revealing himself as the ruler of God's creation. And I see if we're going to win New Zealand for Jesus Christ, if we're going to see this nation saved, we've got to see Jesus standing in his glory, standing with authority, standing with power. And you know, his judgments are so true and so real. And I think it's because we just think we can, the nation, we can live our own lives, we can get away with things. God's judgment doesn't appear to happen immediately, but it's not like that. Jesus is standing there mighty as the Amen. He's standing and with power and authority. And it's only because of his grace and mercy that he gives people, he allows people to go into sin and the hope that they will repent. But in due time, you know, it's whether it's 1 year or 10 years or whether it's 100 years, it's nothing compared to eternity. And it's no different whether Jesus lets a person sin for 10 years or just cuts them off immediately. He knows all the future and he's just standing there so mighty. And I just think of, you know, when we witness to people, we've got to keep, see Jesus standing there in that mighty sense. You know, the reality of him, what he can do, but also his grace and mercy. And if the person is hardened, doesn't listen, it's only by God's grace and mercy that they're going to get another chance. But, you know, having been evangelist for a long time and witnessed to many people, you know, I've witnessed to so many people, they've died the next week, or they've died in 3 months' time, or they've died in 1 year. But it's so short, it's so short. And to me, we've got to see Jesus, he is standing with us to speak to people. Jesus is standing with us. He is the faithful witness. And he's wanting to bring that through us as his ambassadors to appeal with people. You know, Paul, he would plead, he would urge, he would cry. He said for 3 years in Ephesus, you know, with tears, you know, from house to house. And he was busy. He had the passion of God for getting people saved. And that's what we've got to have. We've got to have a passion. We want New Zealand to be saved. And then we see Jesus Christ standing mighty. You know, the evolutionists and those who just want to have used science against God are going to lose. In the end, Jesus Christ is going to show that science belongs to him and that Jesus Christ is the ruler of God's creation. All things are created through Jesus Christ. And he is mighty in this nation. I just rejoice how mighty Jesus is in New Zealand. And yes, there is promise of judgment on one side, but on the other side, he who hears my voice, I will come in. That's my promise of revival in New Zealand. If we hear Jesus Christ's voice, if we let Jesus Christ come in, then there will be revival in New Zealand, and New Zealand will be saved. So I think we've got to have radical servants of God. We've got to have people with the fire of God for evangelism. And we've got to be able to make sacrifices. Sacrifices in prayer. Sacrifices in putting money in the right things, which is evangelism for New Zealand. And going out in Jesus' name. So Lord, I just thank you for this message. It's a challenge to us. Challenge to myself even. Lord, I think I need fresh fire. I think I need fresh earnestness. I need a fresh breaking of my heart. I need a fresh reality of, you know, there's the both sides. There's the judgment side. There's the mercy revival side. And Lord, I just see this nation in many ways has rejected your mercy. But you are still holding out your hands and you're still standing in your love to save this nation. Thank you for New Zealand. Thank you for the people of this land. Thank you for those that have come here. We do ask by your grace and mercy, send out your workers. Send out your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.